Sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. No short.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. The show you're about to hear today includes an interview from Global Research TV from the website globalresearch.ca. It's an interview with James Corbett of thecorbettreport.com and Michelle Chesedovsky, one of the founders of globalresearch.ca, both really fantastic websites. The title of their interview is Global Warfare in the New World Order. And you'll hear about the many ways to wage war on all of us and who's doing it. As you listen to this, think about how 9/11 and other false flag events serve this global agenda. So here's the interview between Michelle Chesedovsky and James Corbett.
In all major regions of the world, in various forms, in some cases it's theater wars as in Yemen, in Syria and Iraq, it's a U.S.-sponsored insurgency, the so-called Islamic State. In Latin America, it's a process of destabilization of national economies, but also militarization, the sending in of Marines to Central America. In Southeast Asia and the Far East, it's the so-called pivot to Asia. It's a situation of provocation largely directed against China. In Ukraine, on Russia's border, it's acts of provocation directed against the Russian Federation and the conquest, essentially, of new frontiers for the global economy. In Africa, it's U.S.-sponsored insurgencies, the destabilization of national economies, the battle for oil. And largely, we're dealing with very powerful corporate actors, which control and overshadow the governments. If we wish to give it some kind of structure, we're talking about, of course, the oil companies, the big oil, the Anglo-American oil companies, Wall Street, of course, which is involved in financial destabilization, what President Eisenhower called the military-industrial complex, which are the large defense contractors, the mercenary companies, the intelligence and security corporate apparatus, linked, of course, to the U.S. Military and to NATO. And then, of course, you have the media conglomerates, which are there serving the process of war propaganda, upholding a corporate agenda. And then you also have, and that's very important, you have the biotech conglomerates, big pharma. One dimension of this global war is the destruction and demise of the agricultural cycle, the fact that when you introduce genetically modified seeds into a region such as sub-Saharan Africa, you not only destroy agriculture, but you destroy biodiversity and you undermine the livelihood of an entire region. And that's happening in countries like India. It's happening throughout sub-Saharan Africa. And it is part of that global agenda. The global warfare is not limited to military interventions. It uses covert operations. It also is geared towards destabilizing sovereign governments through so-called colored revolutions, you know, the installation of proxy regimes, which will obey orders, and so on and so forth. It's a very complex process, and we have to connect, in a sense, all the different dimensions of this devastating process, which is destroying countries, transforming sovereign nations into territories, open space for corporations, impoverishing the world population. And that impoverishment is not the consequence of a scarcity of resources. It is the result of manipulation and destruction of economic and social structures and institutions.
Well, you paint a very vivid and concise picture of the total carnage and warfare that is encircling the globe in a number of different aspects, and you, I think, rightly identify it as part of the corporate government collusion, the fascistic collusion, which is at the heart of this empire of chaos that is reigning around the globe. I guess the obvious question then is, what is the next stage of this global warfare? Does it develop into hot warfare in the traditional sense, or will it remain on an economic covert operations level?
Well, I think that, in a sense, the military planners have all options on the table, so to speak, to quote Hillary Clinton. They are involved in covert operations and regime change, the destabilization of national economies, economic sanctions, but they are also contemplating the use of high-tech weapon systems, of course, including nuclear war. And I say nuclear war is not only targeted towards, let's say, Russia and China using the arsenal of the Cold War era, in other words, the thermonuclear weapons, but it is also directed against non-nuclear states using the so-called tactical nuclear weapons. But then there are other systems, there are other areas of intervention. We know that the U.S. Air Force has command over environmental, what is called environmental modification techniques or weather warfare. It's a controversial subject, but it's fairly well documented that the U.S. military can modify the weather and trigger environmental catastrophes. And they even use the term, and I quote, owning the weather for military use. And then you have other areas of intervention. You have biological warfare, chemical warfare. You have, of course, there's the whole area of cyber warfare, the destabilization of countries' communication systems and so on. We're in the realm of high-tech communications. And another area, of course, of warfare is propaganda. It's turning realities upside down. It's presenting America as the protagonist of democracy and inciting people to endorse a so-called anti-terrorist agenda when it is known and documented that these terrorist organizations, including Al-Qaeda and more recently ISIS, the Islamic State, are creatures of U.S. intelligence. And so that we are now in a situation where we support a global war on terrorism, including sectors of the progressive left who say, well, we're against war, but we support the war on terrorism. It's a non sequitur. And within Western countries, there's also an internal war which is ongoing, which is the war of the governments and the corporations against their citizens, namely through the anti-terrorist legislation, where you can arrest people without any, just on suspicion because they're alleged terrorists and so on. And that trend now is evolving towards a situation of police state environment, which affects, of course, the fundamental rights of citizens. And that's happening in many countries in the West. And then with regard to the war within Western countries, you have the imposition of these deadly austerity measures. We see the situation in Greece, but it's not only in Greece. It's in countries like Spain, Italy, not to mention Iceland a few years back. And that, in a sense, is a form of internal warfare. It's based on debt conditionalities. It's the imposition of deadly macroeconomic reforms, something which has been applied in third world countries from the beginning of the 1980s, but which is now being applied in most Western countries, leading to the demise of social programs, the destruction of employment, the creation of mass unemployment, the removal of all social safety nets, and ultimately we're evolving, and I think both at the national and global level, we're evolving from a situation of poverty to despair. People, particularly if we take countries like India, where we see a whole range of suicides in the rural areas, which are largely attributable to the crisis of agriculture and the imposition of genetically modified seeds. Well, people commit suicide. In Africa, we see humanitarian disasters which are beyond, so to speak, they're beyond poverty. We're not dealing with we're not dealing with global poverty, which was something which I researched in the 1990s. We're dealing with despair, with the destruction of livelihood, the destruction of family life, the deaths resulting from warfare, but also the deaths resulting from a process of engineered destruction of economic activity, where poor people are no longer the right to be poor. They're marginalized and excluded. And simultaneously, we see, we're looking at the realm of economics, we see the emergence of this upper-end luxury goods economy, which is geared towards a small segment of the population. So there's increased polarization, social polarization taking place everywhere. You won't see, if you're traveling in Southeast Asia, you won't see the poor people. You'll see avenues of hotels and condominiums and so on. So that, in a sense, what's happening is restructuring of the fabric of national societies, where the hope of actually acceding to the status of an employee or a worker within a factory may be a dream for many people who are simply marginalized. And that is a situation even happening in countries like Spain and Greece, where, you know, up to 40% of the labor force are unemployed.
Well, in fact, we see very much that war on the poorest of the poor, even in the heart of the empire itself, with many cities trying to even make feeding the homeless a crime of sorts in the United States. So we see this being waged, and more aggressively so. I guess, then, can we see any countervailing tendencies towards this globalization of war?
Well, there are, of course, some very significant developments. If we look at the situation let's say in Greece or in Spain, where seemingly progressive governments have emerged. But I should caution in that regard, because these seemingly progressive governments are often hijacked by corporate foundations which are funding them. It's the same thing with regard to NGOs, and they ultimately are caving in to the demands of the creditors and the large financial institutions. I think what has happened in the course of the last 20 or 30 years is that the whole fabric of particularly Western society, where you had trade unions, you had civil society organizations, which were, in fact, and you had governments, which were putting forth a progressive, a social democratic agenda. This scenario, this landscape has been totally modified. The resistance to this corporate agenda, and we're talking about global capitalism, is no longer there. It's no longer there. It's fragmented. It's co-opted. The trade union leaders go to Davos and mingle with the corporations, the corporate leaders, so that through the process of co-optation, we see a fragmentation of civil society into different areas. Environmentalists on the one hand, anti-war on the other, women's rights. And ultimately, emerging from that is a mosaic of resistance rather than an organized structure which will challenge this project. And again, we're dealing with a military agenda. We're dealing with an economic agenda which is supported by the military agenda. We're dealing with a process of destabilization of livelihood, so to speak. It's the reproduction of real life which is at stake. And I think what is extremely dangerous in this situation is that those who decide, particularly with regard to the use of so-called, what we might describe as weapons of mass destruction, including nuclear weapons, they believe their own propaganda. And there's a whole current within the U.S. military, and we're talking about nuclear doctrine, to the fact that nuclear weapons are, quote, harmless to the surrounding civilian population. And that refers to the tactical nuclear weapons, the mini nukes. And there are other areas of where propaganda seems to take over the people who decide. And sometimes those people mean well, but they think that by doing certain things, they're going to improve the livelihood of the world population. And so that when decision makers believe in the use of nuclear weapons as a means to bring peace to the world, we're in a very, very dangerous situation. And having consulted military documents, I can say that this is true, is that they say, well, we have to use war as a peacemaking undertaking, as a means to instill democracy. And they also say that nuclear weapons might be the avenue, okay, or a certain type of nuclear weapons. And I should warn people, although this is a very complex subject, is that back in 2002, the U.S. Senate cleared the use of tactical nuclear weapons to be used in the conventional war theater, and that the whole notion that the commander-in-chief, namely the president of the United States, would actually give the green light, that has been scrapped. These tactical nuclear weapons are part of what they call the military toolbox. They can be used even by a three-star general in the region or in the war region, and they're part of the arsenal of conventional warfare. Now, all those things, all those dimensions, the economic, the social, the military dimensions, coalesce and are sustained by an extensive apparatus of media propaganda. I'm referring to the mainstream media, the corporate media, which sustains the lies and ultimately controls what people think. And this, I would say, is an inquisitorial environment. It's much more devastating than the Spanish Inquisition. The Spanish Inquisition was also based on a big lie, and it lasted for 300 or 400 years. But we are dealing with a media apparatus which turns realities upside down, presents the Western quest and military adventure as a peacemaking undertaking, which lies with regard to the casualties of war, which presents the war criminals as protagonists of human rights, and so on and so forth. And that in itself is the pinnacle of this system. It really, without the mainstream media and war propaganda, this New World Order agenda doesn't have a leg to stand on. And in other words, without these media lies, the military agenda, the economic agenda would collapse like a deck of cards. And that is why it is absolutely fundamental that within the realm of independent media and alternative media, we wage a war against the mainstream media. In other words, it's a war of ideas. It is an obligation on our part to support the truth and to use truth as a means, as a weapon, to undermine the legitimacy of this global economic and military agenda, which is destroying humanity. It is global war, it is total war, and it is destruction. And it has a logic, and it's part of global capitalism. But at this stage, it is not a struggle against socialism, but it is a struggle against national capitalism. In other words, it's the global capitalist elites, mainly Anglo-American, dominated by Wall Street and City of London, the large financial centers, against competing capitalist powers, which we might name them Russia, China. China's not a communist country. China is a capitalist country. In fact, a very advanced capitalist country. And so is Iran. And so that essentially what this war involves is world domination. It's the establishment of a global economic and political system whereby countries worldwide would be subordinated to these global corporations, where national sovereignty under national capitalism would be undermined. And the trade and investment agreements which are being negotiated behind closed doors are part of this agenda. They're part of this agenda, and in effect, they are the end game of this agenda, whereby global corporations undermine and destroy national and regional corporations, in other words, bankruptcy of the entire landscape, and impose a global economic agenda throughout the world.
And again, you've just been listening to an interview between James Corbett and Michelle Chusadovsky at Global Research TV. And again, James Corbett's website is CorbettReport.com, and Corbett is spelled CORBETT. And Michelle Chusadovsky's website is globalresearch.ca out of Canada. And Global Research was named as a fake news site, but if you've been paying attention, you know that the real fake news is the corporately controlled so-called mainstream media. Without the corporate media and some co-opted so-called alternative media supporting this global agenda, the globalists would fail. It's the truly independent media that allows us to have some inkling of what's really going on, and that's why the globalists have really begun to crack down on and attack the independent media by labeling many of them as, quote, fake news, and by limiting their internet access. Congress, which dangles on the puppet strings of the globalists, has even recently encouraged Facebook and Google and others to censor many good websites. And Facebook and Google and the others are changing their algorithms so that when you do a search for a topic, the sites like Global Research won't come up and won't be one of your choices. And Global Research and others have reported that the hits to their sites have gone way, way down because of this. I don't know about you, but when the powers that be are trying to keep me from these independent news sources, I want to connect with them all the more. So in addition to globalresearch.ca and thecorbettreport.com, here are some other sites that I would recommend if you want to learn about what's really going on. One is newsbud.org, started by Sibelle Edmonds and other great independent journalists. Sibelle has been labeled the most gagged woman in history for when she worked at the FBI after 9/11 and what she discovered there. Anyway, the site newsbud.org is a subscription site, so you need to subscribe, but you can also find some of the less current videos on YouTube. So if you go to YouTube and look for NewsBud, there's some there. And they do a great job at NewsBud of really digging into the deep state. And I just saw today that they posted a new video on the murder of John Lennon. And so again, that's newsbud.org. Another site I would recommend is WayneMadsonReport.com. Again, WayneMadsonReport.com. And as a former employee of the NSA, he has connections to the intelligence community. So his site is really worth checking out. Lots of great information there. And another good site is 21stCenturyWire.org. They do a great job covering the Middle East and Syria. And then another site is InternationalClearinghouse.com. And for 9/11, the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth site has all the scientific evidence needed to prove that the official account of how the towers came down to be totally fraudulent. And again, their website is ae911truth.org. So ae911truth.org. And it's important to understand that we've been lied to about 9/11 and that it couldn't have been pulled off by the 19 alleged Muslim hijackers, because the globalists, just mentioned by Michelle Chusadovsky, who are waging war on all of us, used 9/11 to further their global takeover agenda, blaming it on Al-Qaeda, who they actually created, armed, and funded with the help of certain allies. They also did the same with ISIS, as you heard Michelle Chusadovsky mention. Another weapon used by the globalists against us is to control the weather. Even Michio Kaku came out recently and said on CBS that the government can modify the weather and can create hurricanes, etc. Chemtrails are connected to the weather modification program, and a good website to learn more about all of this is Geoengineering Watch. I think it's .org. So geoengineeringwatch.org. So there are some things that each of us can do to thwart the globalist corporatist takeover in our own small way. So let's start with the oil companies. We could look into getting solar panels and join organizations like PACE right here in Connecticut to learn more about sustainable energy. And when it comes to Wall Street, we could tell everyone that we know that the Federal Reserve Bank is not federal and that there's very little reserve in the bank. They're a private bank charging interest to our government for borrowed money. And we could keep our money in smaller local banks and credit unions rather than using the big corporate banks. And we could work to get a public bank here in Connecticut. And there are already people working on this. And in terms of the corporate media, you know, we can all just turn them off and watch or read them only for monitoring purposes. And you can support independent media outlets, as many of you did recently during our fund drive here at WWUH. And when it comes to genetically modified foods, we could just not eat the poison and buy organic foods or foods with the non-GMO label on them and then work to get them banned, like they are in many other countries. And we could also pressure our local farmers not to use genetically modified seeds. And when it comes to big pharma, you really need to learn all you can about vaccines. Two movies that cover this well are Vaxxed, V-A-X-X-E-D, and Bought, B-O-U-G-H-T, Bought. And I believe they're both on YouTube right now. So Vaxxed and Bought. And then we all need to learn more about the corporate organization called ALEC, A-L-E-C, which is designed to get corporately friendly laws passed in each state legislature. And they've been very successful so far. And again, that's ALEC, A-L-E-C. So as I see it, the only thing that's going to stop the globalist takeover of the world, the New World Order, as they say, is collective people power. So if not you and me, then who? And if you would like to comment on the show or add your own suggestions for what we can do, I've created a new email address, which is wwuhcheryl@aol.com. And again, that's wwuhcheryl@aol.com. And that's Cheryl, C-H-E-R-Y-L. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening. Power to the people.